Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry we're a few minutes late, but unfortunately, we had a lot of requests that came in this morning and on Wednesday. Of course, our office was closed on Thursday and Friday. Amber did a great job putting everything together. I'm sorry for the 20-minute delay, but we're starting now. In the future, please, we have deadlines. Let's try to adhere to the deadlines. It makes it easier for everybody regarding getting information that we can talk intelligent about the problems. All right. Thank you very much. Today we have an agenda from about 2, 4, 6, 7 different individuals, department heads, so forth. We'll be trying to listen to all of them. We'll evaluate them. I'll ask questions. We'll come back at a later date to discuss it through the Ways and Means and make a recommendation to the legislative body itself. So in saying all that, we have our controller, Elliot Arbach. Elliot's here tonight, or this afternoon, for a request to put a confidential secretary into his budget. Elliot?
Thanks again. So my request is really a simple one. Up until last year, the office had a confidential secretary. The position was unfunded last year, and we are looking to restore the funding to that position. I submitted to the chair the chairman a quick overview of confidential secretaries throughout the county, including the four elected officials who do have confidential secretaries, and over a half a dozen department heads that also have confidential secretaries. We looked at the salary scope and requested that the position be funded at $53,297. That lines up as a median number when we take into consideration some of the higher figures at $64,000 and several of the lower figures at $43,000, $44,000, and $48,000. That, in essence, is the request. We also took into consideration, as we cannot ignore the fact that it comes with benefits as well, and included a solid guesstimate of approximately $32,000 of associated benefits, like every other position. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Elliot, you didn't have this position funded for a year. I mean, I see that you compared it to other secretaries throughout the county. Let me ask you a question. Why would you think it'd be advantageous for your department to have a secretary?
Well, you know, right now we're wasting an inordinate amount of talent doing secretarial functions that continue on regardless of somebody sitting in the chair or not. And it includes letter writing, mail opening and forwarding, phone answering, and a myriad of other duties that come along with a secretarial function.
Any questions for Elliot? Burke, can I ask a question? When you actually evaluated the controller's budget, it was in there, you took it out. Can you give us your reasons for taking it out?
This legislative body took that position out, eliminated that position in the 2017 adopted budget. I didn't think it was prudent of the budget office to include something that was just eliminated in the 17 budget. Also, this would be a 10% increase to what was, a 10% increase in the controller's budget. As a whole, departments the spending was down $911,000 throughout other departments. So there was that, and also there was no justification for this new position to the budget office.
Any Anyone have any questions for Bert or for Chris?
Yeah, so how many hours a week or like variant would you say you find you yourself and your deputy performing these tasks on a monthly and annual basis?
Well, it's spread out amongst the six people in the office, so it's not specific to my deputy or myself, but mail is an everyday occurrence. Phone ringing is an everyday occurrence. Letter writing and communication is an everyday occurrence. You know, to ask somebody who is a senior auditor or a CPA to go and make copies or create, you know, it's really not prudent. And more importantly, in a staff of six, which comprises my office right now, it's really a time drain. So we're redirecting people who have are highly skilled and hired as highly skilled people to do ministerial work, and it really doesn't fit in the structure of the office.
So that's a segue to my next question. What kind of analysis have you done on hours per week required for these tasks that you mentioned,
You know, we're looking at this position as a 35-hour-a-week position, which is standard and aligned with the other ministerial secretarial positions in the county.
So the specificity of my question more was directed at how many hours per week to specifically perform those functions that you mentioned before. How many hours?
35 hours.
You know, beyond 35 hours. I mean, it's a huge undertaking, to the point where it really incurs someone to be devoted that seven and a half hours a day performing those tasks.
So does that include like scheduling events for you, that kind of thing?
No, this is we're talking secretarial.
Right, but I'm saying, so what exactly does the job entail besides what you mentioned before?
Well, you know, we like to
look at our. You'll have to look at our secretary as the director of first impressions in our office. That's the person who sits in the front and handles people as they come in. I mean, if you've been in the office, which I think you may have been, you'll see how that office is structured as well.
Is that, you know, the secretary is the front office person, handles people as they come in, as well as the myriad of other ministerial duties that come along with that.
So is there outside functions?
Is there outside functions outside of the Fair Street office? That, you know, how many hours per week does the position entail? That, but I know it's varying, sporadic.
Yeah, it's a 35-hour-a-week office position. It's not a 35-hour.
Is there any percentage that you could put on how many hours outside of Fair Street would be spent on the position?
I would just have to use the word rare. I don't see that as being as part of the position. I see this individual, whoever it will be, as assuming the duties of really the office function, and that runs it's a myriad of tasks, beginning with what we would expect, into really communication, letter writing, and I would say probably the majority of the time dealing with much of the inter-building functions as well as folks who come into the building.
So when you say inter-building, you mean dealing with other departments?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So who answers the phones now?
Who's ever really available? You know, we have made attempts to do transfers of phone calls, and oftentimes find ourselves backfilling by checking phone messages. Most of them are attended, and somebody assumes the responsibility. You know, just as a catch-as-catch-can way.
Okay. So with that scheduling, things like that, do you schedule your own appointments? I mean, has this been a hindrance since last year?
Absolutely. And it's and let me just say this to you: it's not my secretary. It's the office's secretary. So this is an individual that works with the six other people in the office: the two senior auditors, the two auditors, the director of internal audit control, and the deputy. So the responsibility really is it's if we want to use a baseball phrase, it's a utility infielder, somebody who works for all the folks.
And have you seen any situations this past year where you missed a meeting or missed an important call or decision?
Yes. Because you absolutely.
Can you name one?
Most recently, a call last week that we missed from a resident up in Venetia on an issue, without divulging. So yeah, it's a imagine any other office in the county operating without someone who is really the first point of contact to and with the public. And that's the situation that we're in now. And again, I think from a 30,000 foot view, we're looking at someone who really works, not specifically for me, but works in the office.
Yeah, I've come to your office on occasion, and there's no one in the front
correct
area.
Correct.
So I mean, as a legislator, I'll walk through and look and peek inside.
Ring the bell,
and nobody comes, and I look in there, and nobody's in there. I don't know how you got by. You get a lot of people from the general public coming up to your office?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Comptroller, was all of this explained to the...
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Was all of this explained to the Commissioner of Finance?
I wasn't at the meeting, so I couldn't tell you that. There was a July... I have a memo in front of me that was sent to... it was CC to the Commissioner of Finance, who... I guess in this respect is really the budget officer and not the Commissioner of Finance. And explained the restoration of the funding of the confidential secretary. That was a July 5th, 2017 memo. And along with that copy of that memo was sent a detailed personnel list inserting the confidential secretarial's function at 70 hours a week, at 70 hours every 2 weeks.
Elliot, I'm a little puzzled. I mean, you're the head of that department. Why wouldn't you go to the finance meeting to argue your budget?
I wasn't here.
Oh, okay. There again, just running some quick numbers of what you had told us, how much 53,297 and 85,982, including benefits. You're talking slightly under $30,000 an hour for a secretarial that basically you said, does minimal task, type in the computer work, set and schedule, copy things. I mean, that seems pretty substantial, $30 an hour. And if you put in the benefits, you're talking about $47.82 an hour. So, based on those numbers, the description of the job itself, is it really... is it really a little bit more involved than what you're telling us, or just for that you get a temp service for a lot less and be way ahead of the game?
Sure. And if the legislature is willing to institute the money for a temp service, then that's an alternative as well.
No, well, you say that. I said based on what you said, the per dollar per hourly figure versus what you're this person might be getting, going to a temp figure would be substantial less.
Sure. So again, it's not minimal task, it's ministerial task. And I don't want to minimize the position because in that respect, as many of us know, the secretary in a lot of offices is really the director of first impressions. That's the person that the public meets first and foremost when they walk into an office. But what we did is, just to share with you, we took a variety of different salary schedules, including, you know, $54,000 for the executive, $55,000 for the district attorney, $52,000 for the sheriff, $55,000 actually for the legislative chairman, but the secretary there wears two hats as the deputy clerk and the confidential secretary, and then ran it right up into the appointed offices, the commissioner of finance and secretary at $63,000, the public defender at $66,000, social services at $63,000, and then more of the modest ones, and used a median range to be fair.
Any more questions? If not, thank you, Elliot.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Next, Commissioner of Finance Burr.
Who is this?
I thought I had one.
What's that? You have a question?
You're later down the road.
Okay, because mine is a slight difference to the controller's amendment, but if you want me to handle it later, I'll handle it later then. Should be the next thing in the packet.
Yeah,
let's go
let's
to the
do
packet.
That next.
Burr, let's go.
Yes.
Regarding the Ulster County Staff Association NYSEC contract.
Oh, wait, can I
yes.
So it's not on the agenda, but if Hector's saying that, which I see now in the packet, that he's put in a change to what we just heard from Elliot, specific to Elliot's department, why wouldn't we speak about it while we're speaking about Elliot's department?
Well, first of all, you know,
it's
we
not
have,
on the schedule.
I understand it. The reason why it's not on the schedule is because it was just submitted on not on a timely basis. All right?
All
right.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay. All right, we'll get to it. Let's go. Let's go, Bert.
With this amendment, there's also a resolution for December 6th. For the staff association contract, I received a memorandum of understanding on November 9th. So I just found out about this. It's 40 positions. It's 2% COLA increases for 17 and 18. It goes along with other unions who do have contracts for 17 and 18, the PBA and the Correction Officers Union at 2%. Overall, unfortunately, it's four pages long. It's $112,000 that this is adding to the 18 budget. And where I grabbed it from was one of the lines that the consultants recommended that I agree with. There's others I don't agree with, but that is the one line I agree with, which is safety net. And there's revenue also decreased with that amendment. It's 40 positions. I don't know if there's any questions, Mr. Chairman, regarding this.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there are going to be many questions. First of all, in 2017, how are you handling the increase for 2017?
Well, on the resolution, we're basically the same night you're also giving me the authority to move money around within the budget.
Right.
It's on that resolution.
So you're taking it out of unfunded?
Lines, even within the departments, if I can find. That's normally where I go first.
Okay. So everybody's clear, we have an expense for 2017, the amount of what, Burr?
It's roughly $50,000 for 17 that I have to find.
$50,000.
Yeah.
Normally we give the finance person the authority to make
balance the budget
at the end of the year. So he's going to do that on 17. 18.
It is this amendment.
This amendment, correct. Which is taking out of the safety net to cover the $112,000 cost, correct?
Correct.
Questions?
So it's 40 positions at $112,000.
For 2018, right. There's $50,000 in 2017, which will, with the resolution, we'll find
that's
within the contract. Correct. Yeah.
That contract runs from when to when?
It's 17 and 18.
All right.
I will also say, you know, I know CSEA just has it, but they just started negotiations. That's going to be much more in terms of dollar values that's not in the 18 budget. I don't expect a settlement by then, but come 18, we'll have to do something to find them money.
You're saying you don't expect
it won't be done by the time 17's done, per se.
Right, right.
Yeah.
If it's settled in 18, we'll have to worry about an 18. If not,
yes.
Go to 19.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Bert regarding this? Yes?
All right. So, $12,000 you're taking out of safety net?
Yeah, you'll see it's on page
four.
It's actually $158,000, but because there's a revenue attached to it, I had to reduce the revenue as well. It nets out to $112,000.
Any other questions? No one? Thank you, Bert.
Thanks.
All right, since we're right on schedule, just about almost. You put us on schedule all the time. Hector, let's talk about your resolution regarding the controller, since the controller's not here. Where'd he go?
He left. So, but if I may, Mr. Chair, look, I think Elliot's already defended the justification. There's a minor error. It should be 37 and a half hours, not 35, but the rest of the amendment is as presented, which it was a minor alteration from his.
All right. DJ?
Yeah, the comptroller himself said it was 70 hours for every 2 weeks. So why are we changing what he requested?
Well, we have the authority to do
I understand that.
Okay. Hector took it upon himself to change it from 35 to 37 and a half.
He said there was like a minor error. So the comptroller didn't mention that error. He mentioned 35 hours a week.
That's what he was putting in.
On his amendment,
there's an error on my amendment in terms of what's gotten there.
Okay,
I'm saying that if we're going to be putting this position in there, it should be for 37 and a half hours, not 35.
And what do the rest of the people in that office work?
35.
So our reasoning then, or the reasoning behind that would be?
While I realize that one department of 35 hours, I was going to say, remember, you're there in a different. Yeah, well, and it could be somebody, it doesn't have to be a she. That is true.
Which I think Bert wants to say.
So that's it, Mr. Chair. I'm done.
All right.
See how easy that was?
Tracy, then Bert.
I was just going to ask Hector, so you're suggesting 37 and a half hours at $50,000, and Elliot's suggesting 35
F53297. I just want to confirm. But yours is at a zero change. It says a budgetary change zero. So you're taking the money from somewhere else.
It's out of the contingent account. However, I have other amendments that put money back into contingency. So
okay. I'm just asking.
Those come later, whenever I'm scheduled, which I'm assuming is at 215.
Elliot suggested something I like to see too.
Right. Okay. Hector is doing 37 and a half hours. The controller is doing 35. And then the base
and
salary.
Also lower, and it's also a lower slight change.
Bert?
Just to clarify, the deputy and the confidential secretary have been and always have been 70 hours. Everybody else is at 75 hours in that office. Just so the committee knows.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hector?
And is the purview of this committee to change it to whether it's 37 and a half or to 35 or to whatever the amount happens to be?
The legislature.
And, well, but this committee may be recommending to the legislature, Mr. Chairman. So, thank you.
All right. Any other questions regarding Hector's friendly amendment? Tracy?
I just want to ask a clarification of Bert. So has that position ever been at 37 and a half?
Not that I'm aware. I can look.
Yes, it was at 30. With the,
I tried it.
I remember there was a long, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I remember
there was. They were 35. They moved it 37 and a half without the legislative body knowing.
Right.
And then we moved it back to 35. Yes.
When he replaced this confidential secretary, it went back to 35.
Any other questions? If not, legislator have. Oh, TJ.
Just real quick. Just line through yourself to Hector. Is Elliot cool with this or what?
I believe the controller will be happy for whatever he can get.
Legislator Hector.
Thank you, Chair. You guys should in your packet have. The budget request and informational package from Auditor Hudson. So I'm going to be brief because, especially this year, as they have in the past years, Archman Hudson has done a really diligent job in presenting their request. They do a strong breakdown of how the money is allocated, where the money is allocated to, and its direct economic impact on the county. I just want to highlight, first of all, on page 5, you can once again see this is a organization who, one, administers all of our art funding here in New York State, and it's the diversity in which it does so, and the geographic diversity in which it's done so is important, especially as we as a body are passing out Ulster County tax dollars for this purpose. You have programs from Ellenville to Esopus. You have interconnecting programs that connect communities. For example, the YMCA in Kingston, after last year's funding, developed a program with the very renowned School of Art in my district. So now children at the YMCA were able to come into Woodstock to a renowned art school and take art classes, all a part of the money that we helped allocate last year. This is just one of many examples. For example, Shadowland. I was just recently in Ellenville with the Economic Development Committee. We got a brief tour of all the work we've done in Ellenville. You can see really the growth of businesses and restaurants is kind of growing around Shadowland, which is the premier arts front in that community. So again, like I did last year when I came before you, I make it not just as a cultural and quality of life effort, but this is really about economic development, the arts drive revenue into our communities, and this year they're asking for 7,250 to bring them up to the total budget request. That is a little bit less than we even increased last year. But I think it's important that we keep investing in this program as it grows and as we keep trying to grow our local economies. I know there were some questions last year when I stood before you about allocation, the breakdown, how hopefully 78,750 would go. They do a very great page on the job on page 7 breaking that down. I just want to note that besides the funding that goes directly to Ulster County, first of all money received from Ulster County goes directly back into Ulster County, even though they work in a regional aspect. The funding that they get from Ulster County, none of that is going to Dutchess County. It goes directly back into our county. But in terms of the administrative breakdown, the 26,500, this isn't going towards just simply, office chairs and, new lighting and stuff like that for their offices. It's going towards staffing, which, for example, this is a competitive grant process, how this money is allocated. They actually hold trainings throughout the county to help local organizations apply for our funding, so that it is a true competitive process, and they have the resources to do that. That's what some of that goes to. We also hold networking events. They also host our own art awards for the county, and that all is in the 26,500 administered under administrative costs, aside from the 52,250 that goes directly to these programs like outlined on page 5. So I just wanted to make sure that was very clear. Last year, we upped our investment with support of this entire body, thanks to the support of Chairman Ronk. This has been put forth by myself and Legislator Waro, as chair of the legislative programs. And so I hope, again, we can continue to keep our investment going forward on this important funding. Any questions?
We'll find out. Legislator Ronk, Ken.
Thank you, Chairman. Legislator Hefner, one question I have, and maybe you answered it, and I was reading while you answered it. I see that page 7 in your amendment here from Arthur Hudson has the 78,750. Do you know what the breakdown would have been, administration versus the competitive grant funding in the one that's budgeted?
That's a good question, but I'd be happy to get that from Linda, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm just curious how much of the $7,500 is going to administration versus how much of the $7,500 is going to grant funding.
I only have that broken down. I haven't broken down if we do pass this amendment. I don't know if it stayed at the current executive proposal, what then the breakdown will look like, just what they're hoping the breakdown will look like.
And my second is more of a concern and not necessarily a question. I totally agree with investing in the arts. We have been for many years, as long as I can remember. I think that this appropriation started around $50,000. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And when I see appropriations like this growing and growing and growing year after year, maybe not every year, but it's grown a significant number of the years, that becomes a concern to me, because I feel like the organization could maybe leverage fundraising or things like that to increase the amount of funding rather than just to keep come back and ask us for more and more of an appropriation every year.
That's true, but I'd also point out that they allocate and administer funding into Ulster County, not just from us. They are also solely responsible for administrating the New York State Council of the Arts funding into programs in the county, for example, that are listed on page 5.
Yeah, if we were gonna increase the funding again this year, I would hope that they would be able to leverage our funding to get new funding from somewhere. I understand they also administer funding from other sources, but my point is, I believe that they'd be administering that funding whether they receive the extra $7,500 from the county or not.
And I'll also just add to that too, is I think the demand in the region is growing. I mean, if you look, annually 1.4 million visitors to the region and growing are coming in those, and out of that, approximately 161 million directly comes into Ulster County. These are people coming to the regions for arts and cultural events. And you look at the breakdown of where that's going in terms of lodging, food and beverage, recreation, retail, transportation. I mean, if you're looking at where our communities are growing, I'd simply say the reason why it's worth investing is because the demand is worth investing in to keep up with it.
Just one last thought to that point. I mean, eventually, if the demand for the arts and cultural experiences and tourism in Ulster County is growing, you'd think that eventually it would grow itself into self-sufficiency rather than grow itself into needing more money from the government.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Heppner, I don't think anyone has a concern about what they do and how they do it. They do a great job, and they should be commended. The question we have up here is that there are some different organizations that are asking for money. We're like Santa Claus here, trying to dish it out without being slighted towards one or the other. But there again, I think we all realize how important a job they do. And secondly, I might have some concerns regarding taking out a contingency. If we are funding it, maybe we'll take it out of some other source of that contingency.
I'm open to looking at that.
Tracy?
Two questions. Do we need to have on file a full budget from them, from whatever the last year, I guess, would be 16, with a breakdown of where all their total money, not just our money, just all. I'd like to know.
You mean as a regional operation?
Yeah.
I can request that.
Yeah, can we see that? And then along with that, in terms of the breakdown of the funding that they list on page 5 to Ulster County arts organizations.
There's two places you need to sign this.
Can you find out what that total number is? I realize we give a certain amount, but I'm curious if the Ulster County arts organizations only receive the money we give, or if there's more money going to these organizations. What's the total number going up arts groups in Ulster County?
They're leveraging.
That's how we're going to see that.
The way I read page 5, I'll clarify this, but these people specifically only receive funding from through Austin Hudson, through the Ulster County Cultural Services and Promotion Fund.
But does that mean that only way that Ulster County arts organizations get money is from money funded by this
or are they leveraging money? I guess it's a follow on to Ken's question. Are they leveraging other money and arts organizations in Ulster counties? It would concern me if the only money that Ulster County arts organizations are getting is what we're giving.
Well, see, here's an example. The Jewish Federation of Ulster County, they received funding for a specific project, which is the Bear Center Interpretive Plan Project. The Jewish Federation of Ulster County also received funding.
And I was putting it.
Also received funding for a different project, the Kingston Community Multicultural Festival. So I don't know if they, like, for that specific presentation, they can receive funding elsewhere. I can clarify that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe just the full budget will help me see the big picture as well. Thank you.
TJ?
Just a couple of things. First of all, I can answer a couple of questions. I know specifically for the Shadowland, they apply to anything and everything. So I know they get money from other places. They get money from New York State and so on.
Especially, I hope.
But also to answer Chairman Rock's question, I know in theater year, if you will, if bear with me on that, theater year 2016, there was between a 4 and 5% decrease in attendance throughout the Tri-County area in theaters. Nobody knows why. And I know that only because my wife's on the board at the Shadowland, but there was a 4% decrease. The cost of everything goes up. It's not as simple as, just making those work. Because they're considered a commercial establishment, Central Hudson sees them as a cash cow. So as soon as they throw a light switch on, they're paying through the nose for electric, so on and so forth. And I know they do a tremendous amount of fundraising. 6 years ago, just speaking of Shadowland specifically, they embarked on $1 million capital campaign, which they reached. Currently, they're going through the second stages. Which is an old department store on Center Street as part of revitalization of Center Street, and that is going to be upwards of $1 million.
Where is it?
To do that, but it's also part of that revitalization. I just think from a personal standpoint that when we look at, I know we're giving X number of dollars, but when we look at an additional $7,200, if we look at the money generated back through that amount of money, I just kind of feel like, we're worrying about $7,200, on Ways and Means on a normal Tuesday, we'll go through $20 million for, asphalt on the shoulder of a road, that we don't question whether, why we're paying, $110 a ton or $115 a ton. So I think these kind of things are almost like no-brainers. I don't mean to imply that if you said no, then you have no brain, but I think this is where we invest, and this money, once we hook them, if you look at tourism, what was tourism last year? $515 million for the county. Let's face it, once we hook them, even I can't lose them on a fishing line. So, I think this is a win-win-win for everybody. So I would appreciate any support.
Dave?
Well, actually, this amendment was supposed to be my amendment and the committee's amendment. I don't know how. I know John was going to be part of that. But that passed 100% through the committee. The committee supported this 100%. And it was part of the idea that we had been attempting to grow the money in the arts a little bit at a time each year to try to get back the numbers that they once were at. At one point these numbers were much higher than this, but the way they were handed out was a bit ridiculous. And as you know, the way the money was handed out was in a way that was, they had, the one point was they had a canned hunt of pheasants, and that was counted as part of the arts.
That was sportsman.
That was in the arts money.
No, it was in the sportsman.
Was that not in the part of the arts money?
The arts money, I think it was all...
It was all Federated Sports.
It was the member item money. Exactly.
It was the member item items that all was part of... Yes, it was. I can show it to you because I just looked at it back in 2005. I was the four.
Does it really matter where it came from?
I mean, the point is, we've been attempting to move its numbers up each time a little bit to try to get back to a number that is reasonable. And I can't say it any better than Legislative Briggs said, it's an investment that makes sense.
Thanks.
Chris.
Mr. Chairman. I want to echo the sentiments that Legislator Briggs has said. And I appreciate the presentation that Legislator Heppner and the sentiments that Legislator Donaldson are given. You know, if you look at this list here of all of the different events that they help to sponsor and promote, it's amazing that they can accomplish so much on so little amount of funding. And if you look at the return on investment for activities for people to have, you know, you have local residents that benefit. Some of these events would be more oriented towards local residents, like the Saugerties Artist Tour. And a lot of these events are something that tourists and local residents benefit from. But, you know, we need to look at this from a multitude of perspectives. You know, with the youth of today, with the struggling economy, there's less money for youth to have worthwhile and beneficial activities. You know, with the opiate addiction crisis, having culturally strong events that promote the arts, give worthwhile activities for youth to participate in, is a good thing to have. In terms of investment in the tourism-based economy, you know, it's obvious that with IBM closing the last 23 years, this county's been, and much of New York State, is making a transition over to a tourism-based economy. And I think the return on investment for such a nominal amount of money, $7,250, I think this is a no-brainer. It's benefiting so many diverse programs and activities throughout all of Ulster County. I'm a yes on this.
Oh, we're not taking a vote, but anyway. Ken?
Not there yet.
Ken?
Thanks. I want to make it clear to everybody in the room, I don't not support the arts. I understand that it's an investment in our community, and an investment in the arts is an investment in tourism. My concern is that we give money to a lot of worthwhile organizations, and from coming here, you know, year after year and seeing the number increase, I'm worried that there's not a ceiling. And if we don't set it, if we don't at some point, you know, slow down and set a ceiling on some of these appropriations, you know, it may only be $7,500 here, and it may not be a big deal this year, it may not be a big deal next year, it may not be a big deal for this program or that program, but eventually it really starts to add up, and, you know, we could be down the road in an, you know, in a situation where, you know, we might have to drastically decrease these amounts, you know, if we let them get out of control. So that's my concern. I'm not saying that $7,500 is going to make or break the county budget this year, but it may 5 or 10 years from now. So.
I mean, the one thing I'd just like to add to that, though, is that, wow, why stop investing in something that's been proving to give you a return?
I'm not talking about stopping investing in it. I'm talking about stopping increasing investing in it every year.
Are there any other questions? If not, thank you. Yes. Legislator Donaldson, CASA, Libraries, Cornell.
All right, anyway, back on a quick thing on the arts, that is, I understand what Legislator Rock or Chairman Rock is pointing out, but we are keeping an eye on that. That's why we're moving it up in increments, and we've been doing the arts. If you notice, we have not increased other ones that have actually requested increases because we were concerned about making sure that we're actually getting bang for the buck. In reference to the
awesome.
Yeah, I got the, I hope I got the right one here. I got the one with performing arts. That was. I think I
read take my time.
All right, this is the CASA budget, the first one for the Finance Special Advocates. They came in, they requested more money because they were able to, they wanted to do more training. For people who don't quite understand the CASA, the Court Appointed Special Advocates, they, what they do is they, an advocate is actually is given one child that is in possible going into foster care or wherever through the family court system. And that advocate, it advocates strictly for the child. They may counter an attorney, they may counter social services, but their job is strictly to make sure that the child's needs are met. And as a result, what they do, these are volunteers. Every one of these volunteers are professionals. Most of them are people that have come from other, you know, walks of life. I don't know if the one person is still there, but there was one person that was a volunteer that was actually ran the Orange County, actually the Orange County Foster Home Program in Orange County, California, which has a, she was the person that was the head of that. And that, just the employees in that part of that social services in Orange County.
That was good, Carl.
I like that. Very good. Very good follow-up. Appreciate that. But anyway, she ran a program that was larger than our entire social services department. But that's the caliber of people that you get in CASA. But they needed to try to increase the volunteers, and in order to do that, they do have to have the training, and the training costs money. And, of course, the volunteers, you have to coordinate them. That part is not free, the coordination of the volunteers. So they're looking for an added amount of money, and I believe it was, what was it? $39.50. So that was one of the, do you have any questions on that?
Nope, next. Go on.
So you want to take it from family assistance, and that's the same, that's the difference in the arts ones versus
yeah, it's just the according to our budget people, that's where it can come from. But I mean, I'm not married to where it comes from. Yeah, I'm sure you have other options if that's what you prefer. But.
Next, Dave. Arch, Mid-Hudson.
It's the third one you're back.
Why don't you do the libraries?
Yeah, no, I don't have my thing in the library anyway. The library is somebody that has not requested any increases in quite some time. They have not requested an increase, though. This is the one that I was looking for, actually. Thank you. They requested and added $5,500, and it really goes towards it. And you know what? I was looking at it. Oddly enough, I happened to go through, I was running through, throwing out old files the other day. And when I pulled up the one of the files, this was from, I think it was 2003. And the money that we gave to the libraries then was something like $220,000. $220,000. But then they used to give it to the individual libraries, and a lot of people complained about that because some of the libraries had taxing districts, some of them did, and so there was a lot of things, but they did it by population. But the new method, of course, is done strictly to the library association. So whatever is given to the, in other words, whatever it's got, they use it for, is they use it for every library to tap into it. And in fact, there's a list here of what the programs they use that for. I got a neat kind of story because I have a mechanic. I have an old 99 Mazda truck. I usually like to have an old vehicle around, you know, and I have and he's the guy I call to work on it. Well, I asked if he had a library card. He said, yeah, he never uses it. I said, well, if you get the library card, you can go on and get Chilton's. That's for all the repairs. Well, he actually looked up something through the library, through the portal, to find out for a repair. So actually, he could actually use Chilton's instead of being a member, having to pay for that himself. As a mechanic, he could actually use it in the library. But anyway, this number, what it does is it increases what they are using and what you can use. Every member in here, no matter who they are, as long as they're a resident of Ulster County and have a library card, no matter what library they are from, they can tap into the portals. They have stuff on Ancestries. They have they can actually help you create legal documents. That's one of the things that are tied in, and these are all things that normally you would pay for, but the libraries individually would not pay for them because they'd be too expensive. So in this case, I really think what they did was they ended up getting lemons when we cut them down almost nothing, and they created lemonade out of it because these programs are actually very, very good. I don't know how many people really use them. I'd like to get them to try to start doing that. I know I've used a few of them once I learned to go into it, and it's really very easy. Yeah.
So,
our funds are already supporting this, right? Are you saying that this $5,500 is going to expand? Are there programs that expand?
Some of the program, what they have done is they've actively kept track of the programs. And what they find is with programs or if they get way too expensive, they may cut them or if they're not being used. So they try to do that. So what has happened is the cost of some of the programs have gone up, and we have not given them an increase in the past 4 or 5 years, for maybe 5 years, I'm not sure. Do you know Bert? It's been about 5 years. But anyway, we haven't had an increase in them, and what they've done is they've cut the little programs out. And then, they try to always maximize their dollars and what they're creating. And this is what they came up with in order to keep having the programs that people want.
When you say this is what they came up with, it's a request there? Because I was at the meeting when they came to your committee, and I thought the presentation was actually pretty amazing. And to your point, I think... One problem I see is that people just don't know about these programs, and I certainly will support more money to them, but I think that on some level, maybe that money would be well spent advertising what they actually have, because what they have, what they're using our funds for, are really incredible right. services that people do not
And I might want to suggest that maybe, in other words, now that you bring that up, that's a good point, and I've been thinking about how how to approach that. Maybe the way, in some ways, to approach that is even on our own website to talk about the amazing programs for the Area Library Association and tie them with the executive's website, the legislative website, and actually do that in a manner so people really know what is in here, because it is an unbelievable resource that you have here at your fingertips, and all you gotta do is pull it right up, and you don't have to, I can imagine you can probably figure a way on the internet, there's ways of sneaking through back doors and stuff like that, but this is, direct, so you're not having to, right onto the program, and the program site, there's a list of them. Does anybody, you guys have a list of these programs?
No, I'm just saying, can you provide that for me?
Yes.
Can I get copies of that?
Oh, right here.
Oh, they are?
I'll hand them out to you.
So that's the list. And if they're also very open to, if you have a discussion with them, talk about it. If there's something, other program that you know of, call them up and they'll look at the program and they'll try to weigh it out, because their idea is to, they know less and less people are actually coming to the library. So these types of programs are very, very good for them. And some people that actually come, if you don't have, just so you don't, your internet is not too good, or if you don't have internet, you can go to the library and pull up any one of these programs, because every library in Ulster County is part of it. if they, each one of the libraries tried to do that individually, they would not be able to afford it.
It was answered before, but I was talking up once, so I apologize. But for your amendments, they're all, the offset is family assistance. So, that's okay. There's money.
I mean, consultants did recommend, I will say, there is revenues attached to family assistance. But in terms of the amounts that's being requested, I think the main one we'd have to look at is the $40,000. Because there's, there's revenues associated with family assistance, and that may change revenue.
Which
is about $40,000, maybe more.
Which is why you should pay for the contingent. Because then that way the money flows easier. Yeah.
No, I mean, it could go from someplace else. And we use that because that's what the consultant pointed out. Now, the $40,000, as I, you know, I haven't really talked about that yet. If you want me to talk about that one now.
Well, I just brought up because it was.
No, no. I mean, no, you're right.
I have an amendment on the budget consultants.
So, I mean, I use that because that's what the consultant said, that there was money there. And for those amounts, I thought that would be the other one. I had some questions. In fact, I did the, I don't know if you want to talk about the other one yet.
Sure.
Yeah. One for Cordell Cooperative. I don't know, Ken, did you have any conversations with them?
Dave, just if I recall, I know that I was at the committee meeting when you reviewed the various proposals. You had asked me at the time if the county executive had gotten a proposal from Cornell for an increase for his recommended budget. I had said that I had not met with them. Usually I meet with them ahead of time over the summer, and they had not reached out to a meeting for me this year. So I understand they did send us a letter with a request. The programs that they asked for an increase for are different than the ones that they brought to your committee. The dollar amounts were the same, but there was a program request. Programs for the request were different. For example, they had a civics program and some other things. They had a different lineup of programs. The dollar request increase was the same, but the what they would spend that money on was different between what they sent the county executive over the summer and what they presented to the committee. It was my recollection that the committee voted to support the increase for the arts, for CASA, and for the Library Association. The committee did not support the increase for Cornell. And it was asked that you know, who could they reach out to, and you were going to refer them to me, and I have not heard from them to have a conversation yet.
Right. Would the committee set back on that particular item? So that's why when it was on here, it's not something that I can speak on behalf of the committee for, because we did not do that. The other ones, the committee was 100% behind them. Mary Morrow asked me to come and speak, and my vice chair, she asked me to come speak in her behalf. But anyway, the $40,001 was one that the reason it changed, by the way, was because there was a cut in state funding towards the 4-H program. So that's why they actually, you know, their original money that they requested, the $40,000, then they actually shifted it over to go back into a program that the state cut funding on. So my suggestion is, I think maybe if the committee has time to invite them to make that argument on what that was, because, you know, at that point we did not take a stand, like Ken Cornell pointed out. In fact, I was the one that suggested that they talk. I had a conversation with you before. I mean, the other ones to us were sort of no-brainers, and we kind of went along with them. But that one, you know, we were more questionable about. So I really think maybe the committee should reach out to Cornell Cooperative to ask them exactly what that money is going for, because it did change. And it is, it's basically about for the 4-H. It's what it's changing over to.
Any other questions? Anything else, Dave?
No, unless you want to, you know, buy a ticket for the ancient order of librarians.
How much?
$25. You get what? You get to pick three number for the entire year. Whatever pick three number you got. What do you want? Two, Tracy?
No.
one, two quick questions. So because the committee didn't improve this, this last one's not coming from the committee. Is it coming from you and Mary, or it's just the
It's not. What happened was we put it in tentatively with the understanding that they were going to contact and get in touch with Ken Cornell and have a discussion, but apparently the discussion did not take place. So, I mean, I can't really say that the committee kind of leaned towards it, but we didn't vote on it. We said they prefer that they, have a conversation before they make any, before we make a total commitment on it.
Okay.
So it was put in with the idea that, it's easier to take something out than throw one back in.
Okay, and then the follow-on question for Bert. Even with the lesser ones, if it's not coming from family assistance, do you have a different line that you can do?
Even the safety net number has revenue attached to it. So when it comes to the social services, accounts, there's normally revenue attached to it. So either way, I can work with Amber to get what amendments need to be done. It's like I chose safety net before. There's revenue associated with that. There is revenue associated with family assistance, which is kind of not one line the consultant recommended in social services that doesn't have revenue attached to it.
Right.
You better be quiet for a little while. Hector has a lot of those amendments coming.
Can't wait.
All right, anything else?
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Rodriguez, legacy savings and budget consultant suggestions. You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. So, first off, much as we do in committee, where we move something for discussion purposes, I wanted to ensure that we at least brought the budget consultant's recommendations to Ways and Means to sort of hash out those things that we think are, in fact, real budgetary savings, and those things that we may not think are, in fact, budgetary savings. So, while I am not necessarily pinning myself on any one of these items, it was, in fact, to ensure that we actually had the discussion, because I had heard nobody had put in that amendment. So there is that. So I believe our budget consultants already gave a presentation with regards to their justification as to why they thought there was various savings. To be very blunt, you guys are the judges, juries, and executioners of whether or not we do this. So I leave it to the committee.
Do you want me to continue on with my other one, Mr. Chair?
By all means.
Okay, thank you. So, in addition, our consultants identified what they believe to be $4 million worth of salary savings. And so, actually, I believe, Amber, I asked for, as opposed to defund 2014, 2015, and 2016 vacant positions, I thought we were putting it into contingency.
It is. It's
okay,
on there.
Okay, so I want to make sure that that's the case. So, these are vacant salary lines that have been vacant for, at this point, 3 years. I think it's kind of suffice to say, generally speaking, if you haven't filled a position for 3 years, we should probably, at this point, recoup those dollars. In addition, we should be looking at, quite honestly, the positions that we do fund. If we're not filling positions year after year, then I think we have a different problem, because we're now taxing the taxpayers for services that they're not getting. So, at the very least, I wanted to have that discussion with the committee. Anything else, Mr. Chairman?
No, I have questions, though.
Not great.
Can you explain that last sentence?
If we are, in fact, if not all of them are all 100% county, but some of them are, in addition, there's always still county share with each of these positions. These are vacant positions from 2014, 2015, 2016. So, if we are, in fact, remember, if there's county share, it, in certain cases, is coming from the levy or from sales tax or other revenue streams that, of course, that we're taking in. I'm saying that if we are, in fact, creating positions within the budget year after year, and yet we're not funding them, right, then clearly our taxpayers aren't getting that service. So therefore, from a policy perspective, why are we funding those positions, right? Should we be funding other positions? Should we, in fact, be looking at, additional taxes back to the taxpayer, cutting taxes further? Should we be looking at reinvesting those dollars differently? So, at the very least, we have had, year after year, positions that are not filled. And so that's why I wanted Amber to look at year after year.
TJ?
For consistent.
If I may, then over to Bert. So this is roughly up, rounded up to $3.9 million. So if that's in the budget year 2017 and we don't use it, that money then rolls back into the general fund, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we aren't...
But I will let you know, Legislator Briggs, I disagree with the consultant's numbers.
Okay, all right. But
I'm just letting that out.
And Mr. Briggs, just really quickly, it's 3.088.
Which I
and that's in total, by the way.
Okay.
That's in total. That includes benefits, okay, salaries, and the whole nine. The budget consultant identified from their perspective $4 million in salaries.
Well, they also said we were short on overtime and other pays.
Sure, but I'm saying, but this is only actually $1.7 million in salaries, just FYI.
All right.
So,
anyway, my point is, if we don't use it, it goes back in anyway, so we're not throwing it out.
Yes, but should we be taxing for it in the first place?
It's still there.
I know, but the question becomes, should you be taxing for it in the first place?
I don't know, because the tax money we don't use this year offsets the tax money we may incur next year. So, yeah, the initial year of funding, yes, you could raise that argument. But after that, then you've got that additional $3 million. So that's $3 million you don't have to levy this year for next year.
Okay. So
anyway, but the bottom line is, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And if we haven't filled them in 3 years, but you got to hide money somewhere.
Oh, Jesus, Tom.
I think the question becomes, everybody's well aware that if we don't use it this year, it goes into... appropriated fund balance. We use it next year to reduce our taxes. We keep it for fund balance, whatever the case may be. Contingency. I mean, we are not wasting money. Taxpayers are still getting the benefit. They might not be paying additional taxes in future years because of that. But there again, that's not what the point is. The question becomes, we have lines that are not filled for 3 years, 14, 15, and 16. And you're saying it totals about $3.1 million. Consultants are saying that, not you. I'm sorry, Hector. Bert, is that a true statement or what?
Consultants are saying it's not these specific positions. What they said is there's roughly $3.2 million in attrition savings in 2017. When I ran my estimate, it came to roughly $2.2 million. Because I will let you know, one line they did not look at was separation pay.
Sure.
We're over budget on that already.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, number one, actually, first off, let me just say I'm heartened to see that Legislator Ronk, our chairman, introduced a similar amendment, by the way. So clearly we're both on the same page. But number two, as you say, it's $2.2 million, this is only for $1.7 million in salaries. While I also understand, yes, there are additional...
My biggest thing, Hector, is you listed 34 positions.
Sure.
Of those 34, there's only 8 that aren't filled.
Considering that we got this from Amber.
This was the list provided to the consultants in 2016 by this office.
Correct.
This is the list that was used.
Hold on one second.
Yeah. This was the list that was given to the consultants, but I think you're misunderstanding what's on there because it's vacancies for the year 2014, like beginning the year 2014, then those vacancies beginning the year 2015, then those vacancies beginning the year 2016.
This body would lay off 24 people with this list.
So basically, you're saying, Bert, what you're saying is from that list, there are filled positions on that list.
Correct.
There are people in there.
Correct.
But the list is not correct from what...
Which ones?
I can run down each one if you'd like, Hector.
I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure.
That's all right. The county clerk position is filled as of October 3rd, 2016.
Sorry.
You let me know when you're ready.
That's the first one on there?
Yep.
Okay, great.
The county attorney position is filled September 25th, 2017.
Okay.
The buildings and grounds 1105 position has a person in it now.
Okay.
I don't have a date, but I can find it.
Okay, we'll make sure we get that.
I know it was this year. I can get that.
Does that mean that the 1310 is vacant?
Nope, the 1310 is filled. I'm just going one by one. 1310 is filled as of April 25th, 2017. The next position is Information Services 1022. That position is filled as of February 6th, 2017. The next one would be in the Sheriff's Department, 1439. That was filled October 9th, 2016. The next one would be in the Sheriff 1441. That was filled December 5th, 2016. There is a correction officer, which was 3150-1419. I know the vacancy date on this was April 11th.
Just going to say.
I don't have them on. Well, they weren't on the amendment list. If I look at your amendment, they're not on that. They're on the other one that was provided. So I don't know if I'm working off the amendment sheet or...
They're on both.
All right. That I'd have to get to. I didn't get probation. We missed probation. Sorry.
It's all right. It's going to be held against you. We'll
thank you.
We'll take
that's
the right department. It's fine.
The 3150-1419 and the correction officers... that was vacant April 2015. It was filled in 16, and now it is vacant as of April 2017. I did speak with the sheriff on this, and they do fill it. It just, it's turnover at the sheriff's office.
All right, go ahead.
The next correction officer is 1467. That was filled March 13th, 2017. 1613, another correction officer, that was filled March 13th, 2017. The correction officer, 1970, that was filled November 21st, 2016. Yes. I'm in safety. That position is vacant. The health department, 4010-1859, that was filled January 5th of this year. 1860, senior account clerk typist at the public health, that is vacant. In WIC 4082-1004, the clerk, that was filled July 31st, 2017. Mental health, 4310-1014, administrative specialist, that was filled May 22nd of this year. The next two mental health positions are vacant.
Okay.
Let's see. We want to go to highway now. Is that 5110?
Well,
that was next on the list.
Social services.
Sorry. Yep, I just have them in the position order.
Yeah.
DSS, 6010-1071, that was filled August 14th, 2017. Position 1090 is vacant at Social Services.
1090?
Yep, senior suite. Position 1144, that was reclassified, and I think it's in the process of being filled. 1145, in social services, that was filled May 1st of this year. 1166, that was filled March 6th of this year, and it was just vacant September 1st. I'll let the mystery for now. So they're waiting on the results of the test. Position 1308 in social services, that was filled September 6th of 2016. Position 1403, a receptionist, that is vacant. Position 1530, senior caseworker, that was filled September 26th, 2016. Position 1537 is in the process, and the position was just posted November 1st. So it was filled, and now it's being posted again because it's vacant. Position 1655, that was filled October 30th of 2017. Position 1815, that was filled September 16th of 2016. Position 1922 was filled July 7th of 2017. Position 1952 was filled as of April 17th, 2017. I think we have highway. Let's see, highway 1355, which is in 5110, mm-hmm. That was filled August 30th, 2017. 1637, it's in the process of being filled because there's a promotional opportunity. 1649, CO1 was filled July 24th of 2017. 1653 and 1701 are vacant. 1706, road maintenance leader, was filled November 21st of 2016. 5130, 1501 is vacant. Was there any I missed, Hector?
Probation.
Probation one, which we think is filled, but I can circle back with the committee.
Okay.
Bert, instead of going around and around here, can you get with Amber and actually come up with a compiled list of what is actually filled, not filled, when they were filled?
The ones on this list, Mr. Chairman, or the ones that are out vague? We have, I will say I had a personnel run a report. There's roughly 2% of our workforce vacant, which is roughly 33 positions. They're not these positions.
Okay.
Right. It's part of the turnover within operations.
Can you and Amber work together to get a list that we know exactly where we are as of whatever date?
Sure. I know we have the latest report, I think, as of the end of October, if I'm not mistaken.
Very good. Sure. Tracy?
A couple things. To Bert, can that list include the vacancy date
I think it does include the date.
Okay, great. And then the second thing is, if this list, which was supposed to be 14, 15, 16, was what was given to our analysts, that strikes me as a real problem, that the analysts were working off of bad information. I mean, it's one thing for us now to have this, but...
Bert, what list are we really working on?
The list that was provided to consultants was when they were here last year reviewing the budget. These were the positions that were vacant at that time. Every year they ask for a vacancy report. But this is last year's report. When they came this year, they were provided another vacancy report. It's not this list.
So they used last year's vacancy report?
No. What I'm saying is the one that was with this amendment is last year's list.
If that's the information they were provided.
So are you saying that, but the list that they used in their analysis
was as of September 27, 2017.
Is a different list?
Yes.
Then how is it then that the information that then what Amber has, right? Then at that point, how is that different than what the consultants used?
What I'm saying, Hector, is this list that you have here was provided to the consultants, but it was through last year's budget process.
I understand that. But as you can, well, he's gone now, but let's say to Ron, well, Chairman Ronk and myself basically have similar amendments.
I just saw the chairman's amendment today, Hector.
Yeah, as did I, by the way. But we're relying on Amber, and if Amber doesn't have that complete information, then how is she then supposed to go and prepare the amendment?
I'm not going to
go
one way or another. What I was asked for, which I provided, okay. The consultants asked for the latest vacancy report this year. This wasn't the list I provided them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This was last year's list I provided to them.
No. Understood. And again, part of this is to have the discussion to a certain degree what we're having right now.
Right.
But that said, we clearly are going to have to meet again to go over the revised list. So,
so before you go any further, so everyone's very clear. Bert, you're going to get Amber a list of compiled with the dates that are filled.
Look at the latest vacancy report to Amber. And also,
you will have another list with all of that list and what dates they were filled.
Correct.
All right?
Yep.
Everybody very clear about that?
Okay.
Tracy?
Okay, but I just want to clarify and point out that that means that based on the information you just gave us, that 8 positions have been vacant for now 4 years. Because this was vacant as of 3 years. And this was a list from last year, so if you're...
I wouldn't say 4 years. I have the safety officer that was vacant April 2016, which is probably one of the oldest... That was probably the oldest vacancy date I have on here. April 2016.
But with a small handful of these positions, there are reasons why they carry over from year to year. Questions never been asked. I mean, we've gone through this narrative that there are these vacant mystery positions. I saw a state county controller's report on it. I've debated it 3 or 4 times during the committee over the course of last year. It's just not true. We're not these gobs and gobs of vacant positions that are carried over.
There's so our budget consultants are inaccurate?
You just put an amendment forward that lays off 2014. That's the truth.
That's not
what
it is.
All right, listen.
Regardless, thank you for the narrative.
After what the consultants are saying, what they're saying is in terms of there are vacancies during the year.
Yeah.
They're not, I will say, there's a handful that may be old vacant positions.
And that's part of where we're going with.
I'm defending the consultants' numbers, though.
There's
always attrition savings.
No matter what, any given year, you may lose a person, and then that person may not be for that position, may not be for 6 months.
It takes a couple months to fill a position.
And that's understood, which is why the point of it was anything that had been consistent was to be put into contingency. So it wasn't being cut. But thank you for the narrative, Deputy County Executive. Very Trumpian, by the way. Very good. So that said...
Hold on.
It is.
Hold on.
Well, he started off with...
Hold on. Hector, hold on, please. Thank you. We are going to get a list. We will have all the jobs listed in there. We will have a very detailed discussion once we get the list. We're surmising everything right now. So, Bert, kindly get with Amber to get the list of what was already proposed, where we are there,
absolutely,
and what's the date.
Absolutely.
Mr. Sarlo.
If I may, Mr. Chair, number one, I'm probably going to say, considering that Chairman Ronk and I put in similar amendments, clearly that at that point, I guess maybe he's trying to lay off 24 people too, we may then at that point want to then hold off on that amendment as well, considering that his... is similar.
We will address both of those amendments at a future date. Yes.
Well, why don't you leave that up to the chairman, whose amendment it is, right? I mean, he's not here in the room. So, and now I'm hearing from this side of the room that it's a different list he's working off of.
And that's what we're getting, Tracy. We're
no,
getting
I'm
the list that everybody.
That Ken Ronk's amendment is from a different list. So I would respectfully say we should at least give him the due respect.
When he comes back, we'll ask what he wants to do. But we are going around in circles here without having the details in front of us.
It's the same list. Amber.
I mean, it came from Amber, but the same list.
The chairman's.
All right, Mr. Sudlow and Amber.
Body that, number one, if we have someone out on disability for an extended period of time, that shows up as a vacancy, but they are entitled and hold that position. If we are reclassifying a position, it may look like it's vacant, but it's being changed from someone to move into it. And lastly, in a promotional setting, when someone is promoted into a vacancy, their position has to be held for retreat rights should they choose. So when this information is captured in a period of time, there are things in there that may look like a vacancy because there is not a name to attach, but that line belongs to somebody. And it's very difficult for anybody to capture that without actually doing the exercise Mr. Jarantino is suggesting right now.
Well, part of that exercise, you're going to include those names with those designations that you have on there. Tracy?
Well, okay.
actually don't think it's very difficult to capture. If, for example, if you promoted someone and you're holding a position for retreat rights, can we not come up with a procedure by which in the budget we can identify that line as being held for retreat rights? That doesn't seem so difficult.
You have to remember, though, when we do this budget, this is like a list in June.
It's in a moment in time.
Right,
yeah.
In June. Those positions might not even be vacant now. When I give the consultants that vacancy list in September, mm-hmm. there's positions that are vacant that, when I went through it, it was filled at the time.
Ken, we were talking about the vacant positions. You had a resolution in there, but we have asked Bert to get together with Amber to have all the vacant positions that are vacant today, or as of today, and then the list of dates they were filled, because there seems to be some discrepancy regarding if there is vacancies or not, when they were filled, which ones were vacant as of today, and as Mr. Sudlo said, there are some qualifiers regarding some of the vacant positions that even though they're vacant, they might be 207s or disabilities or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
You have a resolution. Do you want to discuss your amendment at this point or wait till we get that list?
Yeah, I don't have any problem waiting. I mean, what I was going to tell the committee was pretty much that I put in as a discussion point. I know that Legislator Robert Rodriguez.
Yes.
Freudian slip here.
They just take the two all the time.
I know. That Legislator Rodriguez had put in. And I knew that his included 16. I felt that if we were going to put vacant positions in contingency, I think going back further than that and not hamstringing the executive's office in the administration of the county departments, with the ability to hire people, quickly, I would figure if a position was vacant from 2014 and 2015, that it's unlikely to need to be filled in a hurry. So it was just if we were going to do it, maybe we do it this way kind of thing.
All right, so you have no problem holding off?
Absolutely not.
All right. Tracy?
I'm sorry, I just need clarification. So, Bob, you just said that if someone gets promoted, you have to hold the position for 1 year. How?
Not necessarily 1 year. The probationary period, depending on the type. Up to six months, usually, unless there's some thing that occurs in that period of time that causes it to be extended. And oftentimes in highway, when we deal with injuries, that changes the ticking clock. When someone falls off a truck, someone gets a chainsaw kickback, it changes the time frame. So
it's not a year?
Very rarely it's a year, but it could be 3 years on a disability that we're sitting on a vacancy. You could drop them after a year, but in a work-related scenario, it's very difficult to drop somebody and not find yourself in court because it was an on-the-job injury. If somebody did something off the job, that's a different scenario.
What is the minimum amount of time that you're required to hold
the CSEA promotional position is 6 months.
6 months.
That's the probationary period.
But then, Legislator Bartels, we then have to, at the end of that period of time, establish a list, canvas that list, and get interviews, and make a hire.
If you're going to fill that position.
Correct.
Chris?
On that concept that Tracy's touching on, in terms of if somebody is injured on a disability, at what point in time does it become classified? What length is the time duration of the disability to become classified?
Well, we routinely ask for regular medical reports on the individual through personnel. After that 1 year period of time, then we have various options. One, you could move under Section 75 disciplinary action to medical to drop them and change them to disability. You can continue on with their disability, or you can reach some other option with the employee and the union. So it's a case-by-case dependent scenario.
You're saying it's generally around 12 months?
Is the minimal statute we have to hold somebody on disability.
Okay.
But
I'm saying
at what point is your disability to become classified as a vacant position? And as soon as their sick designation is used up, unless they choose sooner to bank that and then go on disability earlier on based on advice from your position.
He might not. He might not. Oh, someone was spending.
All right, any other questions? Everybody understands what we're doing? Bert,
yes,
can you have this done with Amazon by Wednesday?
I can work on it tomorrow.
So it'll be done by Wednesday morning?
It'll be done for you by Wednesday morning, Mr. Chairman.
No, for the committee, not me.
There you go. All right. Mr. Chairman, if I may, just I wanted to just let the committee know, too, every year we have to do a bond ratings for our bonds, and the S&P always does a rating for us through our bond process, and I can share this with the committee, but one thing they do, and I think everyone should, you know, pat themselves on the back, when they mention that we have strong management, strong budgetary performance, and strong budgetary flexibility. And I know we look at vacancies like a big thing. The rating agencies, in terms of how we may think it's a good thing, the way we do it now. Mm-hmm. So as I say, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Well, the question is, it's not that they are, as Hector mentioned, Ken has mentioned, a few other people, it's not that the... You know, we're taking the money away from vacancies. We might be taking away from some vacant lines, putting into contingency at this point. So it would still be very prudent.
I'm just budgeting. Making up the
I understand.
Operation.
I understand.
Thank you.
Any questions? Everybody understand what we're doing and the date we're doing? All right, Ken, you have a couple other amendments. One, Board of Elections.
It's actually the same amendment two ways, but I'll talk about it.
Yeah, I actually wanted to give the committee some flexibility in where my mind was heading with the $5,000 amendment. So it's not two $5,000 amendments. It's the same $5,000 just in two different ways, depending on how the committee wants to handle it. Many of you know that we contract with the ARC of Ulster Green for the services of Brianne, our legislative intern. She does organizing, she does copying, you know, digitizing our records. I spent some time over at the Board of Elections while they were counting absentee ballots, and I've done some FOIL requests and whatnot at the Board of Elections, and it seems like they could really use somebody to help them digitize all the paper that goes through there. And I know from working with the staff who works with Brianne that that she does a great job. So one of two things can happen. We could contract with the ARC for somebody else to work at Board of Elections. We could conceivably increase our contract with the ARC to have Brianne work both at the legislature and at Board of Elections. I know that and I'm gonna talk about this more at our legislative session this month. Brianne comes with a job coach and who helps her out with the tasks and whatnot, and she has to have a review periodically, and she has to talk about her goals, and her goal is always to work for the legislature full-time, which I think is really nice. But, you know, the ARC of Ulster Green, they do a great job with programs like this, with employment and empowerment. And I thought that it would be a good thing to try over the Board of Elections and see how it works out, especially just for the tasks, the I don't want to say menial, but the repetitive tasks, which is actually a really good skill for this program. So,
any questions for Ken? She might be available at the controller's office.
What's that?
She might be available at the controller's office.
Elliot's not here to ask for it, right?
She did say she wanted to work for the legislature.
She did. So the two ways I have it, the one would be to put the $5,000 in the Board of Elections and have them hire somebody, or if we wanted to have sort of the control over that $5,000 to make sure that they used it for this, we could put it in our budget and hire them for the Board of Elections. So,
any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Next, we have an amendment from the DA's office. Basically, he said he was coming or not coming.
He said that he was. I told him 3:15.
3:30. Oh.
Well, he confirmed sure for 3:15.
3:15. All right.
Take a brief recess.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh. TJ?
Yeah, I was just going to mention. I was looking at the budget. Budget neutral component based on the money coming in from the state, you know, that's pretty no brainer. I'm confused at a secretary going from a grade 11 to a grade 12 with a 15% raise. Like, you know, I know a little bit about CSCA and contractual, so very less page on the packet. But usually you go, you get a percent and a half for the promotion and a percent and a half for the per grade increase, which would be 3%. My gut is what he did is he's putting her to top of grade of grade 12. It don't go that way. So it's either a 3% raise or she goes at higher, he or she goes at hiring rate, whichever is higher. Mm-hmm. And my gut is she's probably at top of grade, so it's top of grade plus 3%, which is, you know, doing quick math is about $1,400, not $6,600. So I like
Gracie.
But not that much.
I just want to be before we take a recess, just as I'm digesting, I want to tell Ken that I think that's a great idea. And I'm inclined to support that it go through our office versus Board of Elections. Just to be certain that $5,000 doesn't eventually get adopted as a mark of where their budget is, and also to allow for the supervision of the expansion of the program, which I think is great. I fully support it.
Absolutely not. And I'll tell the committee that the legislature was recently awarded an award by the Mid-Hudson Regional Employment Alliance, which is run as a subsidiary of the Dutchess County Chamber of Commerce, for our work with the Arc of Wolf Madrine. The Hudson Valley Employment Alliance, it's created to foster employment of people with developmental disabilities.
Any other questions? We're going to take a brief recess, but before we go, let's finalize what we're doing thereafter here. I mean, we've got the DA coming in. He's going to have an amendment. We'll have a discussion about that. There are no other department head amendments that I'm aware of. There's no other legislator amendments that I'm aware of. We said we would have meetings the next 2 days. I don't think they're needed at this point. I would recommend that we wait till next Monday. Amber and Bert will have everything to us on Wednesday regarding the positions paper, whatever you want to call it. And let's have a meeting on Monday. We'll go through every amendment. We will make a recommendation to the full legislative body on the vote of yes or no on each of the amendments. Would Monday be fine for everybody? December 4th at 3:30? That fine for everybody? 4 o'clock. Well, you might.
4:30.
Well, there's a meeting. When Amber, when's the meeting? Monday evening. 5:30.
Help.
6 o'clock.
I think it's six.
Wasn't there something at?
Carl would know. Carl would know. What time is the help meeting?
Amber was your.
Yeah, it's at six.
There's something at 1:30 or something.
1:30
be perfect.
Early in the day, there's something on the calendar.
All right. So, do you feel 2 hours is a sufficient amount of time to have a discussion about these amendments? Yes?
What time?
4 o'clock. 4 to 6. At least 4 to 6.
Yeah, 2 hours today. We had to listen to everybody. So.
Yeah. All right. So, 4 o'clock on Monday?
Alternative fact. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Is that fine for everybody? Yes or no?
Yes. 4 p.m.
4 p.m. December 4th. All right, we're going to take a recess till 3:15. 9:30? Maybe. I'll let you know. All right, we have our last amendment before us today. We have our district attorney, Mr. Holly Cartwright. Holly, you have an amendment before us regarding a few things. I'm going to go up and just briefly educate everybody.
I didn't want to give you a lot of notice on this. I was going to wait till tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow, so... all right, move to adjourn.
So I apologize. I actually took Thursday and Friday off, and this thing came in a week before. And anyway, so there's two things on my note. One of them is a personnel issue, which honestly I was delinquent on. We had the secretary, CSCA employee, and if you take a test, you can go up in grade. She did that. She said, hey, I took that test. I got, I'm grade great. I thought that was all that had to happen. That's not all that has to happen. I have to come and ask you to modify her salary. So that's the first one. And I don't know too much more about it other than that I should have done the law. Yeah.
Hey, Bert, you want to address that, please?
Yeah, District Attorney, we kind of looked at the grade 10. It's a grade 10, which answers TJ's legislative briefs. Question. It's a grade 10 right now, which is a legal secretary to the district attorney. You're asking for it to go to grade 12.
That's the, well,
no.
Yeah,
and I understand that. But just so the committee knows, this is a civil service title, which is a grade 10. I don't know if there's a grade 12 you can promote this person to in your office.
I don't either.
And no, I'm looking at, we're looking at the grade 12s right now. I don't see a position. I don't know what test that person took. This is kind of where I'm coming back to you.
Berg, this happened a year ago. It's something I thought right. was all automatic. And
because the grade 12 could have been, you know, principal account clerk or something, but it's not a legal secretary position. So I'm just,
okay.
just letting the committee know.
All right. So I apologize. Berg, what happens hypothetically? The test was supposed to be for a 10.
I don't know what the test was for, that it was a grade 12, Mr. Chairman.
Clearly, we got a hold up.
Can we get an answer? Can we get a result of this?
Because I have the civil service contract right now. The grade 10 is a legal secretary.
All right, so you're saying his office cannot have a grade 12?
They have to change the title. I just don't know what title that would be.
A test for a job.
Right, I don't know what test that is.
Going to say, how could she take
it? And you don't...
No, but it could have been a 12 in the union, Hector, just not
the person who took the test. To say, but if there's no secretary, it's supposed to be some paperwork.
Oh,
really? No, but
that's the exact one.
Yeah, but it's
the administrative assistant. Hold on, please. One conversation at a time. Gracie?
Can someone just explain to me, does that mean you can just take any, you can just take any test?
You have the ability to take any test with civil service. It doesn't mean you're going to get promoted.
If you qualify.
Right. Grade 12 is an administrative assistant. That could have been a test that was...
But it would be a different department, though. I'm going to try and find out. If he funded it.
There's not an administrative assistant position.
That envelope on the desk that Laura...
Right. We get it.
We need a copy of that.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I know.
TJ.
But to answer
is there
the question,
we can fax this over to?
Yes.
There's a litany of examples.
Fawn. Get it. That's
as long as you qualify, then you're going to take literally hundreds of exams. I know the state has that promotional list of series of exams, and based on where you fall in that, you actually qualify for like 35 different positions. So, yeah, as long as you qualify, and that's through state civil service, you can take exams every Saturday, probably.
But just because you pass the test, it doesn't mean we're required to change the title.
The question I have is, what duties is that person doing? Are they doing administrative assistant duties? I don't know.
Well, he's getting it. He's getting the thing faxed over right now.
I'm thinking that's what the test was.
Yeah, but it
could have been open. Just could have been an open test.
And a lot of times people will take the exam just thinking that I'll take it.
Holly, let's do your other phase right now.
1 second.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'm glad it was thrown out.
All right. So hypothetically, she took the test. Burke, she took the test. It was grade 12. He doesn't have a grade 12 in the office.
So she has to transfer.
In terms of what, it could have been an open test, Mr. Chairman, or it could have been specifically for a department. I'd have to go and look. That position could have been filled already by, you know, someone else. I don't know.
But we don't have to create a position in his office.
No, my thinking is the district attorney is looking to change the position from legal secretary to administrative assistant.
All right, he's going to do his other phase. We're waiting for some information.
I just asked him to fax it over, the test she took, so that she'd come in just a minute.
Yep.
And hopefully that'll offer some explanation. Just as a general, with my office, the positions that were set up a long, long time ago, and many of my people have been there, lucky for me, many, many years. This particular employee, I think, has been here for 30 years or so. And their positions have evolved, as my office has evolved, and the civil service titles have not. For instance, I have a person who's pretty much, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a bookkeeper. She does all our branch, does our payroll, she does all the things. There's nothing in my budget that provides for a person for that. And I've talked to folks over here about that, and they just said, well, I said, oh, careful. So anyway, the positions have evolved. We haven't had a hire actually put in.
Can I give a plug?
We put in for a hire for the secretarial staff as a paralegal this year. Did last year, did the year before. It's been turned down. We haven't had, you know, the secretarial staff has gone from 6 to 7 in the last 30 years. The DAs, the number of ADAs I've had have gone from about 8 to 20 without any additional support. So they're doing the best they can with what I asked them to do. But I'm sorry, I don't know much about the civil service. Is that going to help us?
Yeah, it is.
You're not giving that
it was
to me,
administrative assistant.
Okay. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, that's I hate assuming that's what I thought the test would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So if she's above a grade 9, we can be a senior typist in the prison system. Then, as long as you have a year, you would qualify to take that grade 12, and then I think the next one up is a 15, which is like a superintendent secretary in the prison. That would be like a depth secretary would be with. My question, though, and this is the committee, is she doing the duties of an administrative assistant?
I don't even know what that is.
And that's what
you have a desk on it.
She's not a secretary. We basically don't have secretaries over there. We have people that run the office.
But looking at this, though, I don't know if she would be the most
and there could be a list.
Qualifying person to be
there
next
be
in
list.
Line.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's confidential or not.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Is she reachable? She's 16th on the list.
You got to go through the county list, which she wouldn't want to do.
Okay. Well, all right, so let's finalize this thing. First of all, who are you? You're not gonna. If you ask for a desk order now, you're not gonna have an answer back by next week. All right. So the question becomes: you have to find out exactly what her duties are. Correct?
Correct. And also, what I can check rather quickly is if there's a list, correct?
For the 12?
For the administrative assistant.
Well, then you have to look and see where she is on the list in order to be qualified.
Correct.
Okay.
She's probably not on the list.
Well, she's on the list.
No matter where is she reachable.
What's the
you
date?
You have to follow civil service rules.
State would have to canvass.
December 12th. So Amber's going to contact you tomorrow to find out.
It'll be on my list for tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Holly, next one?
Okay.
Yes, she will get an answer to everybody, yes.
So the next application I have, I actually do know something about. Sorry. About a year ago, I came and talked to you folks about an initiative that's a pilot program for the entire state of New York. It's called the IPVI, which is the Interpersonal Violence Initiative. We've been working on that for a year. It's going great. A lot of positive things going on with that. And I'm hoping that we're working with KCPD, and I'm hoping to get together with the mayor probably February 1st or so and have a kind of a publicity splash on it to tell everybody what we've been doing. So as we've been going through this initiative, we've found the need for an investigative position. We went back to the folks that provided the funding up at DCJS and explained that we really were short personnel in order to accomplish this goal. They're very supportive of this process, and they've given us, just as I said about a week ago, they gave us a letter granting an additional funding for that grant. It's through BurnJAG. It's for a year. And it's for a part-time investigative position through my office, $30,000 plus benefits. So the request is, and I'm not sure I was supposed to put this before you before I put it before the county exec. I'm not sure I'm doing all this right. But since we had the budget, I wanted to let you know what I'm doing and if it needs to be considered for next year's budget, I thought I'd bring it to your attention. So it is a it's a budget neutral proposition. It's got a sunset clause on it for a 1 year part-time investigative position for the IPVI grant. And I can talk more about the IPVI grant if you guys have questions about it.
Holly, this was different than what we did last year with the moving of, what was the gentleman's name that was very gracious in his time that he did the investigation or part?
Yes.
In the city of Kingston?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is specific to the IPVI grant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So in order for this to be moved forward, Bert, if we're going to, we do have to include it into the budget, correct?
Not necessarily, Chairman. We could always do it via resolution, because the resolution would still have to be done to accept this grant.
That's what we normally do.
Yeah, and with that resolution, we always can amend the 2018 budget. It is budget neutral, mm-hmm. As the district attorney said. So, I mean, we always can offer it in the normal December legislative meeting. You can amend the budget now. I mean, we do need a resolution, though, to accept the grant.
I understand. Yeah.
Right. We still need a resolution for this.
So if it's easier for me to do it that way, I wanted to mostly bring you guys to
yeah.
let you know.
I didn't mean either. In terms of amending the budget, I leave that to you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So since we have always done it that way, does the committee like to continue to do it that way in the future, December meeting? Holly, bring a resolution to move this forward.
Okay, so withdraw this application today and propose a resolution.
Right, through Bert's office regarding what you're doing.
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
And you're going to find out about the other thing tomorrow with Bert, and we'll work, you know, work
well,
that amendment.
You need to find out where she is on the list, because it's a year old.
Yeah. Okay.
Tracy, you had a question?
I just was clarifying that it's a $60,000 grant, and then on a separate, the amendment request was for $30,000 plus benefits. That contained $60,000.
Yes,
total grant.
It's a total grant. It's got a sunset clause in it. It's for a part-time investigator.
15 months.
Yes. The date. If you think the date's odd, it tied in with the original IPVI grant. That's why it was.
Holly, one of the backups to the grant says $174,000.
Yay!
The report from CCJS is reporting $174,470 for the Burge grant for this. The intimate partner funds.
Didn't you already receive part of the grant?
Yeah. So that must be the initial part of this grant was for a, for lack of a better term, a project manager. That's already been approved. That's a 2-year position. She's been hired. She's working with us.
Did you?
I think that's all. She's been working for a year. I think that's all. Correct. That's my understanding. Yes.
She's going to work on the resolution.
Okay. Thank you. I accept all.
She might as well start.
Any help you can offer me, I appreciate it.
Any other questions for Holly?
Okay, great. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Good
to see you.
Happy holidays.
All right.
All right.
All right. Anything else before us today? Nobody? Move to adjourn second. All in favor, say aye.
Can I just really quickly just so that Bert can have it and everyone else? I just want to say that I'm not feeling super comfortable with using family assistance or safety net. So if you're thinking of an alternative in terms of if we accept amendments suggesting an alternative, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the state budget, with the federal budget, the proposed changes to tax write-offs, which might really affect families in our community. So those are line items I'd rather not mess with. I know it's a small amount of money, but if we could take it from somewhere else, continue to use somewhere else.
Well, that's why, I don't think that's a legislative job to pick.
Yeah,
that looks like a good one. I mean, Bert said it okay.
That's our job.
Not to pick from a line like that when it's not necessarily a true number, in a sense. Like Bert's saying, there's other stuff along with that.
Well,
it's not just...
Well, we have to finalize what that other line is.
Okay.
You know,
no,
family,
no, that,
I get that.
But
raising my concern before we adjourn, so that everyone.
All right. So this is a game plan. You're going to have the information tomorrow about the DA's office. All right. Wednesday, you're going to have it from Bert's office regarding the list. Any questions? Thursday, contact Amber, please.
Okay.
and that's going to be all vacancies, including the start date of vacancies.
I'll give you the most recent vacancies, and then I'll work off the list that I just went through the ones that were filled.
And if anyone had...
two lists. One that was...
one that's current, all
Rodriguez
vacancies.
Rodriguez was using, yep. And then the current vacancies.
That would be great. Thank you.
And if you have any questions or concerns, get them to Amber by Friday. So she can research them, do it, so we don't have what we had to hear today. And that the Monday we'll come in here, we'll have an open discussion. Tracy?
I just wanted to, because Legislator Hefner is not here, to ask Amber, can you please reach out to Legislator Hefner to get the full budget from Artsman and Hudson? Okay. I'm guessing it would probably be 16. I saw online that they have a report that includes graphs, but I'd love a line item budget, what they spend their money. What comes in, what goes out.
But do not wait till Friday to give Amber all these questions. If you think of something, get it to Amber right away, please. All right?
Wait till 4:45. Is that what everybody
does? Actually, that's what happened this past week.
I know.
All right, anything else? Motion by TJ, second by, who was it, second?
Mary Beth.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming.
3:32.